Saddle up your horses. Well, welcome everyone to the Robin Walters Show here on the Red Sky Radio Network. God bless you today. Oh boy, what a bunch of stories. I wish I had more good news for you today. I guess that comes on the Sunday morning program, doesn't it? You know, I only, I don't know, 17, 18 years, I only had this program. And I felt compelled to always have some good news at the beginning and try to have some good news at the end. Sometimes, now that the whole election stuff is wearing off and we're dealing with more realities and defeats in the courts and so forth, I've got fewer good stories in the secular world, and I'm just thinking, well, you know, maybe I just let the good news fall into the Sunday morning program. So don't miss that, called Sunday Morning with Robin Walter. You can get it, you can get it a whole bunch of ways. If you want to, either one of these programs, actually, you can just let me know. Red Sky Radio 777 at gmail.com, and I can add you to the blast email list for either one or both of these programs. Alternatively, of course, you can get it off from the webpage. I don't know how long if we're going to continue the webpage through into 2026. It just is used less and less these days, with everything shifting more and more to podcasts. And of course, you can get me there with Red Sky Radio, or the Robin Walters Show, whether it's on iHeart, whether it's Amazon, whether it's Spotify, whether it's Rumble. I'm in there on both programs. All right? So let's roll. I do have a good story to start with. Only one. And it deals with just one more really fabulous consequence of a Trump election. And that is the launching of an 80-hour course on the Constitution that is being required for people who are in the senior executive service. Well, are aspiring to be in the senior executive service. The ones that are already there, they don't have to take it. We just need to get them fired or they die or what have you. But the ones coming in will have to take an 80-hour course on the Constitution. Now, to me, this is really, it's fabulous. I mean, I'm licensed in California. I got to have 25 hours of continuing education every 3 years. In Arizona, it's 15 hours every year. In Michigan, it's nothing. But I was looking at this, an 80-hour course on the Constitution. If I took the 3 hours I spent in class each week on the U.S. Constitution and law school for a 15-week semester, that would be 45 hours, an entire year, which would be Constitutional Law 1 and Constitutional Law 2, only comes up to 90 hours. So this is going to be the equivalent of two law school constitutional law classes. I mean, it's not going to be obviously directed the same. I don't think there's exams. But this is going to be required for those who want to be in the senior executive service. And who are they? Well, this is what's really critical. They are the highest level of civil servants, sometimes loosely so-called, the highest level before you get to a level that requires approval, appointment by the president, and approval in Congress. That's the highest level you can get of people that the president and Congress cannot actually control directly by who's being appointed to those positions. These are the people you can't fire. Maybe that's the best way to put it. These are the people who, the highest level of people in the government you can't fire. Those who are aspiring to attain to that level are the ones that are going to have to take the 80-hour class in the Constitution. Now, the only thing that I would suggest in this is as an addition is that it be required of all federal employees. But start with these guys. But why would it not be required of all federal employees or aspiring federal employees? Well, one reason it might be a concern is because when Trump's gone, whoever is teaching these classes to all federal employees is just a left-wing whack job. And I apologize for the redundancy. And now we've created a monster in the process of trying to do something good. That is a concern. But something that would be approved by a Republican Congress and a Republican Senate, and it can't be changed. Put that in there and then expand the requirement that all incoming reps to the House of Representatives and all incoming senators must take this 80-hour class. Those who have been elected to uphold the Constitution must have to understand, they must know what the Constitution is instead of what they learned in some whack job law school, which is just filled these days with left-wing weenies, as are pretty much all the institutions of so-called higher learning. But it says in this particular article, and I quote, "This is the latest effort in the ongoing campaign to crush what the White House sees as an unaccountable administrative state. Trump began slashing and burning his way through the agencies as soon as he returned to office with a particular emphasis on this, the senior executive service. Normally little noticed and non-controversial, they are the elite of career civil servants who serve just below presidential appointees and wield tremendous influence over the federal levers of power." Trump said earlier this year, during the campaign, he says, "Either the deep state destroys America or we destroy the deep state." How true. So he sees this as fundamental. If the bureaucracy is in charge, quoting Elon Musk now, if the bureaucracy is in charge, then what meaning does democracy actually have? That is a poignant and incredibly true statement. So all the left-wing weenies out there that are protesting the reduction of federal power, that are protesting people getting laid off at the federal level, duplicative, redundant agencies getting axed, if you can get around the left-wing judges, and yet they claim that the destruction of the bureaucratic state is somehow undemocratic. They'll say, "We're here to maintain democracy." Well, democracy, as Elon Musk made it very clear, is not a bureaucratic state. So those yin-yangs who are pushing for maintaining strong federal bureaucratic powers are anti-democrats. There couldn't be more anti-democracy than to have the power wielded in unelected officials. I want to read Musk's statement again. "If the bureaucracy is in charge, then what meaning does democracy actually have?" Thank you, Elon, for that. So, let's move on to China. Okay, you'll hear why I am spending time on China when you hear the song at the break. It's a little clue here. Quoting from Fox News here, Danielle Wallace actually writing this, FBI Director Kash Patel told Fox News Digital that the case involving two Chinese nationals who were charged Tuesday with allegedly smuggling a dangerous biological pathogen into the U.S. to study at the University of Michigan laboratory demonstrates a serious national security threat to America's food supply. "This case," I'm still quoting here, "this case is a sobering reminder." This is actually a quote from Kash Patel. "This case is a sobering reminder that the Chinese Communist Party continues to deploy operatives and researchers to infiltrate our institutions and target our food supply, an act that could cripple our economy and endanger American lives. Smuggling a known agro-tourism agent into the U.S. is not just a violation of law. It's a direct threat to national security. Now, I'm not going to go into what this agro-terrorism thing can do, but it's horrid. Poisoning the crops, killing the crops, actually killing livestock, causing all sorts of medical problems potentially to the people who ingest the food grown with this agro-terrorism biological pathogen in it. And some of the consequences could be reached as far as death. So let's do a little bit of a review here on China. Folks, I don't buy anything from China. I went through my vitamin cabinet. Anything that I could trace it all to China, I threw it out. I don't care if I just spent $20 on it. It's in the trash. I look at everything now. If it's made in China, screw it. The Communist Chinese Party, Chinese Communist Party, is out to kill us. Look up the 100-year plan. Look that up on the internet. From the Epoch Times or other sources, but the Epoch Times has an incredible piece on the 100-year plan, looking at direct quotes from various Chinese leaders and how they have infiltrated the United States, because the 100-year plan means to destroy democracy. So everybody who's out there saying that getting rid of Chinese students, not letting them come into this country, revoking their visas, kicking their sorry butts out, why should we be educating them anyway? So that they can use the knowledge that they gain and everything that they do while they are here is intended to destroy us. Why do we accommodate that? Well, I'll tell you in just a minute. But let's take a quick rundown of what we know about China and what they have done. Okay? I just got done with this biological pathogens, sneaking them into the United States, and we've only caught two. Where are others coming in from? And to which universities are they going to develop things to use as biological weapons against us? So in other words, we are hosting the enemy. You see, our enemy is not across the sea anymore, not across the Pacific. The enemy is within. Are there some good Chinese in this country? No doubt. There's some Chinese Christian churches that are fabulous. But they also have to understand that under the circumstances, there's going to have to be some response. And America's openness to this is a overreaction to having locked up Chinese or Japanese after the bombing of Pearl Harbor, and any Asian peoples, and, you know, kind of sequestering them to certain parts of the country. We had Chinese labor building the railroads. Yeah, you know what? This country has actually exploited the Chinese in the past and mistreated them presently. But the past, not the present, maybe the recent times. But I want to say that why are we going overboard and overreacting in the other direction to try to accommodate for a past sin by letting them all in, educating them at taxpayer expense? So you and I, our tax dollars, help fund public universities through Congress, which invite Chinese students over. So we're actually subsidizing some people, a fairly significant number. Even if it's not a majority, it's a significant number who are agents for the Chinese Communist Party located in the institutions. And if you don't think so, I'm going to get to a piece here in just a minute to give you a couple of examples. So we got one, the biological pathogens, which this is just the first one apparently caught that we know about, caught in Detroit. Then we go to fentanyl. Oh, gosh, how does fentanyl, where does that come from? Well, the parts of it, the components, go from China to Mexico, where it's then, fabricated, configured, whatever the processing is of things such as, and then it comes in the United States, across the southern border, all the illegal stuff. So China's trying to kill us that way, get our youth addicted, kill them, biological pathogens. This is a playbook out of the Communist Fast Manifesto. And that was to, if you read the Communist Manifesto, you will realize that a significant portion of it is devoted to undermining the morals of a Christian country, or what was once a Christian country. Undermine the morals. Encourage free sex, divorce, drug use, pornography, anything to corrupt the people from within. And if it would be successful, that it requires little military power to overcome us. I mean, what's that passage from Scripture? Unless the Lord guards the city, the watchman watches in vain. We need to have God on our side. Number three, COVID-19. We know that this is the Wuhan thing, the whole thing about the wet lab thing. What a crock. What a pile of crapola. Coming from Joe Biden, who's got an incestuous relationship with the Chinese companies and country. And then you got the whole Burisma deal. Joe Biden has become rich at the expense of the security of the United States. He should be tried for treason and given the appropriate punishment for treason, along with Alejandro Mayorkas. Tried, fair trial, and then the appropriate punishment. COVID-19 absolutely came from China, and they're working on a variant, which they say some of it is already over here. Number four, the infiltration of our universities, which we have covered. It is unbelievable. You want to hazard a guess as to just how many foreign students, Chinese students, are in this country? It's amazing. It's over, I got it somewhere in my notes, maybe I'll get to it a little bit later. It's over a quarter of a million. Something like 277,000 Chinese students in this country. That's a veritable army. It's more than an army, even by our standards, that have infiltrated our universities at the highest level. The answer here is no university that receives any federal aid, and that's a whole other question. Should any university receive federal aid? No, I don't think so. But if they're going to, then absolutely none of it can be used to bring over foreign students. I don't care what country they're from. We don't have an obligation to educate the world, some of whom will come over here, use the education and the opportunity while they're here, overstay their visa, and then just rip us off at any and every opportunity that they can while gaining serious intelligence as to how to militarily defeat us. Number five, buying our farmland. Well, you know, how does this fit in with the, this is something that I had not put together. I have a piece of farmland somewhere, which I have for sale. And I think I shared this once before. The realtor told me, so, you know, farmland's down right now. It's not in favor, except we had one person who was interested. And I said, really? Tell me, what ethnicity was he? He was a Chinese national. Not a U.S. citizen. He was a Chinese national looking to buy the land. Well, I understand them wanting to control the food supply. It's just part of their 100-year plan. But now I combine owning the farmland with the agroterrorism associated with the biological pathogens, that the farmland that they buy, they can poison themselves. They can poison it themselves and would never know about it. And the products get sold and distributed in some fungible capacity. Fungible meaning that if you got wheat and you sell it, and the wheat is, it's not your wheat. That wheat will go to some Grange operation where it is commingled with everybody else's wheat and they all get the same price and blah, blah, blah. And then it's shipped out in bulk to the various whatever food companies it would go to. They would have no way of tracing the biological pathogens back to a specific piece of land that produced the wheat or the corn or the sorghum or whatever it was that wasn't commingled in some co-op in some community in the Midwest and sold in bulk to various processors. I mean, we are at the point now where we're only buying beef from a known local source. It's expensive. It's fabulous. But when you go to, I don't care whether it's Costco or whoever you go to, when you buy your beef, you don't know where it's coming from. That beef could be from Arkansas. It could be from South Dakota. It could be from Brazil or Argentina. It could be from any one of a host of countries, and it comes in and it gets commingled. If there's a problem with the food supply, you actually cannot so easily trace the source that's responsible for that contamination. I mean, I have never in my life been particularly health food oriented because I haven't had to be. I've been good health, and I'm not overweight. I think, well, okay, I'm fine. But God bless my wife, who has had some physical issues, and she is looking at what she's been eating, and oh my gosh, it's a revolutionary in what she is cutting out. And she has me now actually taking my glasses into the grocery store so that I can read the label. And I'll tell you, it's not easy to find something that's healthy, and it's also not cheap. But, frankly, I would rather spend extra money on good food and be healthy than taking a vacation. Forget the vacation. Can't control. I mean, I was traveling on business for a 9-day stretch. I couldn't eat healthy. I just really couldn't. I'm starved. And what's there? Well, it was a KFC and something else. And KFC has never been as good as they were when they had trans fats, which aren't good for you. So I only really, really liked it when it was really, really not good for you. I only kind of like it now because it's a little less bad. With the grease, whatever goes into the stuff, you don't know. Okay, infiltration. Okay, so I now can connect this attempt to buy farmland with the agroterrorism. Number six, and I'm running out. I can't spend more time on this particular thing. How about the spy balloon that flew over? And my goodness, what a pathetic response from the federal government. Joe Biden deserves to be in prison along with Alejandro and a whole bunch of other people because they hate this country or they're too stupid to care. The biblical passage that is instructive here. Well, I'm going to back up. There are several of them, but they all say the same thing. In the Old Testament, I think of three different occasions that because of sin, the Lord sold Israel. He sold them. Didn't get much for them either. Because of their sin, he sold them. Now, I'll sell them. And I don't know how, it's a spiritual transaction of some kind, and that's maybe it's metaphorically used, of course, in Scripture. But the concept is, I sold them. They're not any longer under my cover. Not indefinitely, because God doesn't. It's sort of like He's got a first right of refusal. He gets to buy it back. He's got a put option, as they call it, or something, on Israel. He gets it back, so they're not sold forever. But for a period of time, they're out from underneath his immediate protective cover. I feel like because of the sins of this country, we have been sold. We're discovering now that we've been sold, basically to China, that we have been sold, but we aren't exactly sure how we can get it back. Well, when something's sold, the only way you can get it back is either steal it or buy it. And we're probably in the process of having to try to buy it back. But it leads me to my next comment on this. For everything that I appreciate Donald Trump doing, unless this country really truly has a vival and revival, the slacker Christians, so-called, who don't know how to vote, don't know how to do anything other than, you know, hear 79 messages about grace and think they've done their duty by hearing a message that's the same one all the time. Look, I love grace. We're saved by grace and not through faith. I'm saved by grace through faith and not by works. I get that. But there are a lot of things in Scripture to cover and to know and to implement, which a lot of Christians do not. So it's revival for them, and for those who don't know the Lord, it's vival. I do not know how we survive unless there is an incredible outpouring of the Holy Spirit among Generation Z. Gen Z. That's the generation that needs to have an outpouring of the Holy Spirit upon them and be raised up accordingly. Because we've been sold. And in some fashion, we have to buy ourselves back. But if everything Trump is attempting to do is not associated somehow with vival and revival, it's over in 2028. I mean, maybe Vance can pick it up, but there's only so much that the political environment can do if it doesn't reach down and trigger a spiritual renewal. We're buying time, and God, thank you, Lord God, for giving us time, giving us another chance. Help us to not blow it. Okay, so what I was saying, as an example of some of the things that have happened here, I do have the number. But the things that are happening as a result of the invasion of the Chinese, and is it an invasion? Here it is. The most recent academic year, 277,398 students from China enrolled in U.S. colleges and universities. Over a quarter of a million. Now, you say, well, there's a lot of good ones in there. Well, there probably are. But if 30% work for the Chinese Communist Party, well, that's 85,000 students that we're funding with taxpayer dollars in part. We're subsidizing a sworn enemy. You have to find and watch the program, the 100-year plan of the Chinese. So I'm going to quote here from, actually it's a Breitbart piece, but I just got to go through it. It's the easiest way to cover it, that the FBI warned us in 2019 the Chinese Communist Party exploits the openness of the U.S. academic environment to conduct economic espionage to advance its own scientific, economic, and military goals. Now, I have another sentence I want to read here, but I got to step back to where I was referring to. That was in 2019. We haven't heard anything about it, right? 2019 was the last full year that Trump was in office. Put that together. 2019, the last year, full year of a warning from the FBI when it was under at least partial direction of Trump. No warnings when we got into Joey Biden's "I'm your brain dead corn pop Chinese loving corrupt president." While most Chinese students and researchers are in the United States for legitimate reasons, this article says, the FBI says the Communist Party is using many non-traditional collectors of intellectual property. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
The Robin Walter Show is a listener-supported program. Your contribution goes to help as many people as possible to hear that the Word of God has answers to help you survive and even thrive in the dark days ahead in this country. We pledge to bring you the critical information you need to make informed decisions in this age where big tech and big media have conspired to rid our country of everything Christian. Please send your support to Red Sky Radio, P.O. Box 99, Wickenburg, Arizona, 85358. That's Red Sky Radio, P.O. Box 99, Wickenburg, Arizona, 85358. Thank you.
Okay, you recognize this song? It's a great song. I turned the volume up. I'm sorry. China Grove by the Doobie Brothers. China Grove is down in Texas. That's what the song is about, China Grove down in Texas. I love the song. The reason I played it is because China Grove is now not just in Texas. China Grove is of sorts where they grow things. A grove is where things are grown, right? And what are they growing? Espionage, agroterrorism. The Grove isn't just in Texas anymore. It's in pretty much all 50 states being infected and infested by students that are here to do us harm. And as proof, let me do this little bit of a rundown, which I promised you earlier. And since I promised it, I need to tell this one's from the Epoch Times. Earlier this month, Immigration, Customs Enforcement, ICE, deported a Chinese national, Xi Fengguan, whatever, Chu Kao Dung, I don't care what his name is, who was convicted of using a drone to photograph a naval shipyard in Virginia known for building nuclear submarines and the next generation of Gerald R. Ford class aircraft carriers. He came to the United States how? On an F-1 student visa, committed the crime while on break from graduate studies at the University of Michigan. Next one, Chinese professor Zhang Hao, also known as Chu Kao Dung, sentenced to 18 months in prison, ordered to pay $476,000 after being convicted of conspiracy, economic espionage, and theft of trade secrets. He met one of his co-conspirators, Peng Wai, sometimes known as Chu Kao Dung, as doctoral students at the University of Southern California, and both worked at American companies upon graduation. They worked with Tianjin University officials in China as well. To do what? To steal wireless signal filtering technology from these companies for the benefit of the Chinese regime. Wow. Zhang Zhouzhang, also known as Chu Kao Dung, came to Harvard University as a visiting graduate student in pathology and was caught hiding 21 vials of biological materials related to cancer research packed in a sock inside of one of his bags at Boston Logan Airport. He said he intended to bring the vials home to China and publish research, blah, blah, blah. Now, next one, Wu Xiaolia, whatever, also known as, you got it, Chu Kao Dung, entered the United States on an F-1 visa to attend Berklee College of Music, began harassing fellow students for posting flyers with a message supporting what? Democracy in China. So, if you have Chinese students coming to the U.S., a democratic country, then opposing other Chinese who are pushing for democracy in the totalitarian dictatorial cesspool, otherwise known as China, obviously these students are communists. Are they not? Pretty clear. Yi Yangging, also known as Chu Kao Dung, entered the United States on a J-1 visa to study as an exchange student at Boston University. She returned to China but she was charged with lying on her visa application as she concealed her identity as a lieutenant in the People's Liberation Army. Wow. Prosecution alleged that the Chinese regime sponsored her exchange student visit, and she completed numerous assignments for the Chinese military during that time, including retrieving U.S. military intelligence and sending U.S. documents to China. She remains at large. They don't have her. They can't find her. Zhao Qianli, also known as Chu Kaodong, came to the United States as a summer exchange student, overstayed her visa, which is pretty common. His visa, I'm sorry. He was arrested after trespassing and photographing a U.S. naval base in Florida, whereupon he told officers that he actually was just lost. He was lost his way, and he was actually a dishwasher from New Jersey. During questioning, he acknowledged that he received military training at a university with close ties to the Chinese military, which he refused to disclose on his application, of course. But this is just the beginning. This is just the start. You could go on and on with these things. This is why I said we have been sold, or worse yet, we've sold our own soul, largely via the Democrats, but to a certain extent, a fair number of Republicans who are just blind, ignorant, and otherwise maybe corrupt because they maybe had their hand out for Chinese-based money. Okay, we can't let this program go any further without talking about Queer Month, the alleged June Pride Month. Oh, it's so special. I don't call it Pride Month. It's Queer Month. And it is not the Pride flag. If I offend you, too bad. I call it the fag flag. It's got a nice ring to it, and it's legitimate. So if you don't like that, then, you know, there's other radio programs. But that's what it is. This is incredible. And I'm going to start with a certain shout-out to the Texas Rangers, the baseball team. They are the only, I don't know how many major league teams there are, 30 or 28 or something, 32, I'm not sure. I don't really care. The Texas Rangers are the only one out of the entire Major League Baseball to skip Queer Month messaging. And they were the only ones last year. So the reason I bring that up is because you think that we're having a turn in this country? We're not showing it yet. The Queer Pride Brigade is stepping up its tactics, if you will, because when you get over to the NFL, there were only 8 NFL teams now that will not, at least so far, have not come out with a queer crapola. 3 of them did not come out that were the 4, which were the Seahawks, the Ravens, and the Steelers. They didn't come out for it, and then they just caved. The Queer Pride Brigade picked up the pace, increased the pressure, and these gutless weenies associated with these NFL teams all caved. They just caved into pressure. Now, we do still have a few that haven't done it yet, the Titans in Tennessee, the Chiefs in Kansas City, Missouri, the Raiders in Nevada, the Cowboys in Texas, the Saints, the Jets, the Bengals, the Browns, and the Colts. Sadly, my teams, the Detroit Tigers and the Detroit Lions, have both caved. We only got 1 Major League Baseball team. It was funny, after I read this piece, which didn't surprise me because I knew the Texas Rangers were the only ones that stood out last year, I went to the post office, got the mail, and I turned on the radio, and what was playing? God Bless Texas. I don't know, it's some country state, it's a country station I have on. I don't really know the band that plays that. Yeah, I'm sure many of you do, but I just read that the Rangers were the only ones. And then I go to the post office and come out and they're playing God Bless Texas. Well, yeah, I would say that as well. It doesn't get better. This story, I don't often advise where we should boycott, but this one is. This is a boycott deal. So you got some businesses that are feeling like it's safe to come out from behind the woodwork, behind the trees, the rocks, and the caves, and not have to champion sodomy. The fact is, there are other businesses, a lot of them, that are just simply doubling down on this. One of them is an airline. The airline is Air Canada. So in celebration of what they call, quote, Pride Month, they had a flight that was from, let me see where this was from. Actually, my notes, it doesn't tell me where it was from. Probably someplace in Canada, someplace in the U.S. It was all queers. You could not get on this flight if you weren't queer. And they called this, Air Canada called it the 2S LGBTQIA plus flight. Queer pilots, queer flight attendants, of which about a third or a half are anyway, so that's nothing novel. It was all queers. And you could, it was called a promotion. They said, this is what Air Canada said, quote, this is our first all 2S LGBTQIA plus flight. For we had a heartfelt celebration reflecting our unwavering commitment to inclusivity and equality in the air and on the ground. Okay, so they're doing this to celebrate inclusivity and equality. But there were no straight people allowed. So you celebrate inclusivity by discriminating against people who aren't like you? There's nothing inclusive about this. It's just a whole plane full of queers. I didn't even know what the 2S stood for. It says 2S LGBT. I thought it was two sodomites. That's all I could come up with. But it stands for two spirit. So the video shows the crew members on board and on the ground who identify under one of these gazillion identification letters of abominable behavior, or supposedly who has a loved one who does. Well, and that's what these all the quotes are. I have four children. One of them is part of this community. I just want to help her out and celebrate. Wait a second. So you got one of your four kids that's in prison for a triple axe murder. Do you then come out and celebrate murder, first-degree murder, second-degree murder, to stand with this one who's involved in a depraved, debauched, criminal, un-Christian behavior? Do you participate in supporting those people with a behavior that's distinctly ungodly just because you want to support? Well, you could pray for them, maybe cast a demon out, exorcism. Maybe they're demon possessed. They got to get it out of them. That's the only way that I know of. But they go on and talk about how great this is. And yet there's one party that that posted on the Air Canada website. How is this a commitment to inclusivity and equality when straight people are excluded on purpose? You are ridiculous. And then another one, Air Canada has gone fully woke. Please raise your hand if you will never fly on their airline again. Next one, when booking flights, this is interesting. One person says, when booking my flights, I know that my first concern will certainly be the sexuality of the flight crew. LGBT, aren't you sick of being used? Another one says, nothing screams, I love this one, nothing screams inclusion like blocking most of the public from commenting on your company's post. And why did that party write that on X? Because Air Canada was forced to stop accepting comments for posting this. And then the one I thought just really interested me, one guy says, as a gay man, I find it absolutely terrifying you put people in the cockpit based on their identity rather than their skill to fly a plane. Wow. Anyway, there is some good news attached to this. Number one, Trump is ignoring Queer Pride Month. Way to go, Donald. He's not strongly adverse to this community, but he also knows his base. And he's going to lose even more support, and he might not get his big, beautiful bill passed if he comes out for Queer Pride Month. That's just, he can't afford to have chipped away. I'd like to think that he would not celebrate it anyway. Number two thing I thought that's come out of this was Pete Hegseth took the, I think it's a naval, it's an oil tanker, I think is what it is. Not a hugely significant ship is not such. I mean, it delivers fuel to other ships. I guess it's pretty significant in that context. Named the Harvey Milk, and he stripped Harvey Milk from that ship. That's not the moniker for that ship anymore. It's going to be renamed. I don't know what it's going to be renamed as, but it won't be Harvey Milk, who Gavin Newsom said, I cannot believe that we're going to strip the name from a ship for a man who is a dedicated career or a dedicated veteran who did this and that. Gavin, you goofball, hypocritical, put your finger to the wind, see which way it's blowing, politician, and I mean that in the absolute worst sense. That ship was not named the Harvey Milk because of his military record. Well, that's never referenced. It's because California celebrates sodomy and was the first state besides, well, maybe New York, to celebrate it and make it just as official and mainstream as possible. And that's why your state sucks. In part is because you're reaping the consequences of pushing that in San Francisco, which what? Now has turd counters, people actually counting human feces on the street. It's because when you embark on sin, you just don't say, I'm going to sin a little bit. The path and the direction keeps you going down that path and down that direction. And yet somehow Gavin Newsom thinks that the reason that this is a travesty for stripping the name Harvey Milk off from that ship was because he had he got an honorable discharge from the service. Well, if that's all it takes, we need about 8 million ships so my name can be on one because I got an honorable discharge. No, that's not it at all. It's because you celebrate sodomy in California. That's why it was taken off. Okay, well, I was going to go into quite a bit dealing with this. The guy who firebombed the pro-Israel demonstrators in Colorado, but it's been covered so much in the news. I have really very little to add to this other than that we now have homegrown terrorism. That is a fact, absolutely a fact, and it's growing. It is part of what is being called the global intifada, the global uprising against the nation of Israel. No more on that. But I do want to cover this piece. I've got to get this in. That because of that situation there in Colorado, and this madman Muslim illegal immigrant who comes in is actually committing arson on people's bodies. He's with a flamethrower, setting them on fire, mostly of Jews. It is homegrown terror. We have domestic terrorism that comes from various sources, most of which are from outside the United States, and certainly includes Muslims. There's no question about it. And so I was listening to this gal, a really very attractive young Jewish woman, came to the United States, really bright, intelligent. She said, look, she's on YouTube or something, no, on X. And she said, because of now what's happened in Colorado on top of all these other things that are happening, I am at the point where I am not going to go anywhere without having my hands clutching my Glock 43X. Because that's what we Jews need to defend ourselves. How true that is. So one of Israel's top ministers has now said, in fact, he came out and called the European Union useful idiots for surrendering the continent to the Muslim Brotherhood. He's absolutely right. And now is warning Jews, encouraging Jews to specifically leave two countries, the UK and Belgium. You see, it's beginning. The return of the Jews to Israel did not conclude in the early 20th century, or even as a result of World War II, where many emigrated from their respective countries to go to Israel, and still are. The return of the Jews to Israel is not complete. And apparently God is allowing this as an incentive, if you will, for Jews to get out of the UK, to get out of Belgium. And where are they going to go? Well, I don't know. Some will probably come to the U.S., some are going to go to Israel. You see, to my Jewish brethren, I mean, be they Messianic Jews or otherwise, just, you know, traditional Orthodox Jews. Jews, please do not make the same mistake here and now that your forefathers made in Germany 90 years ago. Do not make the same mistake. You need to be armed. You need to get to safer havens, and maybe you get out of Maryland and Massachusetts and California and these places where they've gone absolutely hog wild nuts over gun controls, which are obviously leading incrementally to confiscation and imprisonment for the violation of the most nominal, incrementally, I mean, not fundamentally dangerous crimes, like finding that you have bullets in the trunk of your car without a gun, and you're within 100 feet of a school. That's just kind of one of the crimes in California. You could be totally innocent. They're just looking ways for you to give up your right to keep and bear arms. You may have to get out of those states, but where you can, you need to be armed and trained. Again, I just have to say this again. Do not make the same mistake here and now that your forefathers made in Germany by not being armed, and for those who were, for giving them up. You got suckered. Don't do that here. And I find it interesting, I'm just kind of conclude with this, Jamie Dimon, who is retiring from J.P. Morgan, big honking company, recently gave a speech, and what did he say? They were expecting him to talk about the economy, what's going to happen with the tariffs, about maybe rare earth minerals, opportunities, investment opportunities, about Bitcoin, blah, blah, blah. But what did he say? He said, we shouldn't be stockpiling Bitcoins. He was asked about how industrial policy is integrated with national security things. During a panel, he said, this is what we need to be stockpiling. Now, keep in mind, this is a finance-based presentation and event given his CEO of J.P. Morgan Chase Bank. All right? He said, quote, we should be stockpiling guns, bullets, tanks, planes, drones, and rare earth minerals. We need to do it now. It is not a mystery. This emerged from the CEO of a financial company. Forget the Bitcoin. Forget the direction of the stock market. All of this stuff that everybody was expecting to hear. He's basically saying, forget that crapola. Yeah, rare earth minerals, I get it. But besides that, we need to be stockpiling guns, stockpiling bullets, tanks, planes, drones. It's not a mystery. We have to do it. We have no choice or we're toast. Hey, God bless you for joining in today. I didn't finish what I had, but that's not unusual. That just means you need to tune in next week and listen to more. God bless you and sit tall in the saddle, America. Remember, you ride for the brand of Jesus Christ. See you next week.